You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
Well, hey guys, I was thinking about how to introduce this week's topic, and my mind went back to the Underground Railroad. The Underground Railroad. The Underground Railroad ran from like the 1790s to the 1860s. The Underground Railroad was basically a series of secret escape paths from the slaveholding South to the North, a series of safe houses and places that they estimate that up to 1,000 slaves in a year escaped to the North, or sometimes even for them, farther north from the free states, and what we know today as Canada. One of the more famous conductors of these escape routes, the Underground Railroad, was a woman named Harriet Tubman. Here's a picture of her. Harriet, when she's about 38, 39 years old. She's an escaped slave. This is right after the Civil War. Harriet Tubman was an escaped slave, but she went back over and over and over, traveled back to the slaveholding South, risking her life to deliver some 70 people to freedom. Most of those 70 people were her own friends, her own family, these 13 secret trips. Now, if you're traveling the Underground Railroad, you'd often travel at night. And it makes sense you travel at night. At night, people are sleeping. At night, people can't see as well. And so they'd travel at night. They'd often use the North Star as this, like, navigational guide. The North Star is pretty odd. It's the oddest of all of our stars. The North Star is the most consistent star. It does not move. It's actually in the north. All the other stars revolve around it. The North Star is the brightest star of all. No star compares. And the North Star was used in the Underground Railroad to bring hope to people, to find a way north to freedom. I was thinking about this imagery, how, you know, the Christian, you and I, we're supposed to be like living North Stars. Like, there's two passages to write down. Write down Romans 13, 12 and Philippians 2, 15. Romans 13, 12, Philippians 2, 15. Romans 13, 12 says, the world is in spiritual darkness. This is a dark world. How many people in this world actually put Jesus first and walk in his light? Lots of spiritual darkness, lots of a lack of God. You and I are to be the living North Stars, shining the brightest, being the most consistent, bringing hope to people in this world. Here's our topic this week. If you're God's child, if you're God's child, shine God's light in the world. If you're really a child of God, you're a child of light. Shine God's light in the world. Like, wherever you go, be the North Star in your home. Be the North Star in your neighborhood. Be the North Star in your school. Be the North Star when you go shopping. The North Star at your job. Like, whenever you walk into a room, shine God's light where you are the most consistent, allowing God's light to reflect off of you, the brightest, and bringing hope to people in this world, the hope of Jesus Christ. So how do you do that? Well, it's how we walk in this world, how we walk through life. We'll talk about that this week, so let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I pray you'd help every single person connected with Grace, people joining us online who are believers in Christ, if they're children of God, help them to walk in your love, walk in your light, walk in your wisdom. Help them be like these living North Stars in this incredibly dark spiritual world where people lack God. Help us to bring hope to people, the hope of Jesus Christ. If someone is still darkness and not yet light, call them to salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our topic this week, if you're God's child, walk in his light. And so we're going to walk through a passage of scripture. You can join me in Ephesians chapter 5 if you want. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 16. You can join me in a message notes or your Bible as well. How do you shine God's light? Well, you choose to walk in life in three of God's characteristics. You walk in his love, you walk in his light, you walk in his wisdom. As we'll see right here, as we walk through Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start off with walking in his love. Number one, we shine God's light when we walk in his love. When we walk in his love. That's the first seven verses of chapter 5. So to walk in his love, what is love? Well, love is sacrifice. It is the opposite of selfishness. And when people see you choosing to walk in true love, which means you sacrifice yourself for others, that's rare. It shines God's light. Like, all of us have like hundreds of chances every single day to operate in God's sacrifice instead of selfishness. Think about driving down a road. You ever driving down the highway? You know that guy on the highway? You know that guy. Bumper-to-bumper traffic, dashing in and out, and finally wants to cut in front of you. In that moment, what do you want to do? What do you do? Like for me, I want to get 2 inches away from the bumper from the guy in front of me to make sure that guy doesn't get in my spot. But what does it cost me? 3 seconds? Like seriously? I'm not willing to sacrifice 3 seconds as an act of sacrifice. Do I want to meet his selfishness with my selfishness? See, when we walk in God's love and sacrifice, people see the difference. They see Christ. And so we're going to walk through this passage right here. Starting in verse 1, here's what we read. Verse 1 says this, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." The word dear children means loved children. You, if you're a child of God, are dearly loved. You're loved. He says, imitate God. That's what kids do with their parents. When you spend time around somebody, you start imitating them. When you spend time in the love of God, you start imitating his sacrifice for you, his sacrificial love. Verse 2 says this, "And walk in love, as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." There he says to walk in love. Every single day we have a chance to walk in selfishness or choose to walk in his love. What he says is sacrificial love. He gave himself. You know, you can't say you really love something or someone unless you're willing to sacrifice for it. That's how you see. You actually love something or someone. If you don't sacrifice, that's not love. Christ loved you. He loved me. We choose to walk in his love. People see it. They notice the difference. There's all sorts of ways that we can step out of the light, out of his love, back into selfishness. Here are three actions that are selfish actions. They're dark actions. Verse 3, he says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints." Yeah, those three things, fornication, sexual activity outside of marriage, that's selfish. Whether it's virtual, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, that's not sacrificial love. Uncleanness is selfishness. Any sort of action or activity that doesn't honor God is selfish, not sacrificial love. Covetousness. Yeah, when you desire what somebody else has, you're jealous of what they have, and you don't honor them by saying, "I'm so thankful they have that, even if I don't," that's selfish. Those are walking in selfishness. Our words can be selfish as well. There's three words in verse 4. Verse 4 says this, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting," which are not fitting, "but rather giving of thanks." Okay, giving of thanks shows thankfulness for God's love, but we can have kind of words that do not honor God. Filthy words, filthy topics, filthy language is selfish. Foolish talking, foolish words, foolish comments, foolish posts, foolish likes, selfish. Coarse jesting, dirty jokes, racist jokes, sexist jokes, like whether you tell them or laugh at them. That's not God's love. Selfishness. He says in verse 5, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, if you don't yet have Jesus Christ as Savior, you still these things. You have no inheritance, no future, no kingdom of God. That's why we're asking, begging God to call you to salvation. You'd receive him as Savior. But if you're a child of God, a child of light, you realize that you can have eternal life in heaven forever, but lose all your inheritance because of a lifestyle of darkness. That's what he says. In fact, verse 6 says, people try to talk you into it. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. Yeah, people out there trying to deceive us, thinking, well, these things we're talking about, they're not a big deal. Everybody's doing it. No one's going to know. I mean, God already forgave you, didn't he? People try to deceive you with empty words. Verse 7, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Like, don't join them in their acts of selfishness instead of sacrificial love. Sacrificial love is the North Star. It's bright. It's consistent. It brings hope. I mean, think about Harriet Tubman one more time. Here's a quote from Harriet Tubman. She said this one time. She said, I have seen hundreds of escaped slaves, but I never saw one who was willing to go back and be a slave. Harriet Tubman had never met one slave who escaped and said, man, I'm going to go back. But you know what she did? She went back. Over and over and over, 13 times, she risked her life. She sacrificed her safety and comfort so other people can be free. There is no love without sacrifice. Christ sacrificed for us. You see, how do people know that you're a child of God? Well, they see God's light. How do they see God's light? They see continual acts of selflessness, of putting others first, putting God first, of deep personal sacrifice. Guys, if you're a child of God, walk in his light. One of the ways is to choose to walk in the love of God. People see God. There's a second way. Number two, we shine God's light when we walk in his light. We shine God's light when we walk his light. So this is more like, you can picture a road. This is going to be verse 8 through 14. I want you to picture a road at nighttime. It's dark. Two sides of the road, two sidewalks. One is totally lit up. The sidewalk totally lit up. The other is totally in darkness. Who chooses to walk down that dark road in the darkness? People who don't want to be seen. People don't want to reflect any of the light. People want to hide. Who chooses to walk in the light? People who are okay being seen. They don't mind being seen. They want to be seen. Hey, what I'm doing, I am not trying to hide. And every single day, we have a choice to walk in darkness or walk in his light. Walk in darkness or walk in his light. So we start talking about this right now in verse 8. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Yeah, before someone receives Christ as Savior, they're spiritually darkness, they're a void, they are God-free, living a God-free lifestyle. When you're a child of God, you're born again. God makes you a child of light, and people see it when you walk in your calling, when you walk in the light. What do they see? They see God's nature, the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 9, they see, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The results of walking in the light, of showing the fruit of the Spirit, is people see God's goodness. They see his uprightness. They see his honesty and his integrity. It shines God's light in this world. That is rare. And when you choose to walk in light instead of darkness, guess what? Since you're in the light, you can see where to walk. You can see what God wants you to do. Verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. He says, step out of the darkness into the light so you can actually see the next steps that God wants you to take. Maybe the reason you don't see the next step God wants you to take is that you're walking in darkness and you're blinded. Step out of the darkness, back into God's light. He says in verse 11, what do you do instead? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. He says, have no partnership with the works of darkness. You're walking in light over there, people calling you to this, exposing them and saying, listen, I can't say that I follow Jesus and do that. I'm not telling you, you have to stop doing that. In fact, 1 Corinthians 5 says there's no reason you should stop doing that. But followers of Jesus Christ, we walk in his light. Verse 12 says this, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. It's shameful. Now, he's talking about the details, the gory details. There are certain practices and things that people have done in this world that if you talk about it openly, it's a shameful thing. I'm bearing in my soul right now, I just thought, wow, this is totally God. I recently heard some news. People come for counsel and advice, and I heard some things. Somebody inside our church shared information about outside our church, counsel, advice, and I'm bearing the weight of that. If I share with you what I heard, what they did, even sharing that is shameful. Verse 13. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever make manifest is light. Here, God's referring to the fact that when there's a competition of light versus darkness, light always wins. All darkness is the absence of light. All spiritual darkness is the absence of God. And when God shows up, things are revealed. Verse 14, he says, wake up. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Here, this is kind of a mashup. He says, he refers to what it was said before, therefore he says. It's a mashup of four different chapters in Isaiah, but the truth remains. If you're spiritually asleep, wake up. There are people online with our online campus. You're sleepwalking through life. Wake up. There are people at our North Overland Park campus. Guys, it's time to wake up. Arise. Christ will give you light. He will have you walk in the light. I think we reflect God's light. We don't manufacture light. We're all like the moon. Think about the moon versus the sun. The sun is a picture of God. The moon is a picture of a Christian. The moon has no light. The moon reflects the light. There can be a full moon reflecting all the light. Half moon, half in, half out. Crescent moon and no moon, total darkness. We are like the moon. You're like the moon if you're a Christian. You have no light of your own. But all you need to do is to wake up and step into the light. Are you like a full moon these days? Fully reflecting God's love. Are you a half moon? Because you're trying to straddle two worlds. You're like half in, half out. You're a crescent moon. People can see a little bit of God out of you. Or a dark new moon, a child of God, designed to reflect the light, living in darkness. Wake up and step out of the darkness by confessing and turning from your sins. Dear God, I am so sorry for this. I never want to do that thing again. It is a sin. It is ungodly. God, I pray, forgive me with the blood of Christ. At that moment, you're back in the light. How do people see God? They see God reflected by you walking God's love, walking God's light, and then walking in his wisdom. Number three, we're God's light. We shine God's light when we walk in his wisdom. That's verses 15 and 16 now. Now, in this section, this walking in wisdom is totally built around time management. Using the limited amount of time in life. God gives us like 70 or 80 good years, he says. Using that wisely to reach people who will never have a second chance when they die. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, 15 says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What's it mean to walk circumspectly? Well, it's a compound word in English. Circum is around you. Speckly is seeing. He means look around you. As you walk through life, do you keep your head up, your eyes open, your head on a swivel? Walk circumspectly. In the Greek, it says walk circumspectly means walk exactly. Walk intentionally. Are you intentional about your time? Or are you reactionary about your time, just letting life happen in your world? Or are you looking at your time, offering it to God, and being very intentional about the limited amount of the 1,440 minutes every single day, the 70 or 80 years? Ephesians 5:16 says this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Okay, to redeem something, I think of a coupon. Think about a coupon. So, you know, I don't know like you, but I collect coupons. You throw some away, recycle. Oh, I'll try this. And coupons, if you don't use them, they expire, they run out. They're like worthless. Redeeming the time. That $100 coupon, if you don't redeem it, is only worth 0.001 cent. It's worthless. Redeeming the time. The word redeeming means buy back. Buy back the time because the days are evil. I was talking to a group of young adults last couple of weeks. We were talking about the stay-at-home order and how, you know, the time suckers in our world. One person said, we're all laughing about ways, okay, some of we don't redeem the time because the days are evil. So one person said they caught themselves in bed when they wake up. They got a pattern. They wake up in bed, and they grab their phone, and they end up scrolling through social media. They caught for 2 hours before getting out of bed, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Another person said that their thing is Craigslist. So they look for cars, antique cars, certain type of cars, and they start expanding the net. Well, I'll look 50 miles away. Well, what if I look 100 miles away? 2 hours go by. And they think, well, just 5 more minutes. You know how it goes, 5 more minutes turns into an hour. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Another person said they were binge watching something and they watched so long that the system popped up a message that says, are you still watching? Are you couldn't be still watching. Redeeming the time. Even the computer, even the system says, you're not seriously still watching, are you? Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Like when Paul uses this phrase over in Colossians 4:5, the same redeeming the time concept. In Colossians 4:5, here's what it says. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, those who don't know Christ. Colossians 4:5 talks about redeeming the time is walking intentionally toward your neighbors, your friends, praying for people, engaging your people who don't know Jesus, having friends who don't know Jesus, praying for those who don't know Jesus, talking, inviting them to a spiritual journey. Share your what God's speaking to you. Invite them to your grace group. Invite them to church. Invite them to serve. Seeing where, go fishing for men. God says to shine his light. Shine his light. Now, just imagine. What if all of us, what if all of Grace Church, every person connected with Grace Church, imagine all of us being the North Star starting today. If you've been in darkness, you confess your sins, boom, you're back in the light. You're choosing to, you walk in the room with God's love. You walk in the room with God's light. You walk in the room with the wisdom of God. You make like a living North Star in that neighborhood. You're the brightest, most consistent, most hopeful person there. Why? It's not your brightness. It's not your consistency. It's not your hope. It's the brightness and consistency and hope of Jesus Christ. If all of us just wake up, step out of the darkness back into the light would change Kansas City. It would change the world. If you don't know Christ as Savior, please, please, please receive him right now. Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now that you'd move among us. Would you move at our North Overland Park campus, move in our online community, move all of our campuses. There's people right now who are not believers. Call them to salvation. May they surrender, may they bow the knee, just pray, dear Jesus, I give up control of my life. I accept you as Savior and Lord. I place my faith in you. I give you control. You are my leader. You're my Lord. There's Christians who are walking the light, and we're so thankful for that, God. I pray you just expand their level of surrender and faith and engagement with the community to walk in your love and your light and your wisdom. And there are Christians like the moon who's back in the darkness. They need to confess their sin. Pray right now. Turn away from a lifestyle of dishonoring you. And boom, they're back in the light. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you have questions or would like to contact us for prayer, please email us at info@visitgracechurch.com. For more information about our ministries, location, and service times, go to visitgracechurch.com.